desire and interest in your prayers. I don't mean that lightly either. I think of the song Brother Philip sang for us there. I'm thankful for those that have gone on before us. I'm thankful for the path that has been paved, not with literal stones or literal pavement, of course, but I'm thankful for the path that has been paved by lives that had utmost confidence in the God of heaven. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and begin reading in the first verse this morning. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There are distractions that will happen. There are distractions that are typical of life. And I want to be able to lay those distractions, those weights, I want to be able to live a life that is above sin. And with the help of the Lord and the realizing the cloud of witnesses that has gone on before me, I believe that it's possible for us today. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus here is identified as not only the author, but the finisher. Not only the instigator, but the fulfillment of our faith. He says here, he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I've never seen something that could be classified as enduring that was short term. Enduring implies that there was an extended amount of time involved. There was plenty of time to realize that suffering was happening. Right? He says here, he endured the cross, despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm so thankful that Stephen was able to get a vision of Christ at the right hand of God. It's part of the cloud of witnesses that has gone on before us. And when Stephen was able to see Jesus not only at the right hand of God, but standing in consideration of what he was going through, and Stephen lost his life for the cause. It inspires me to want to be true and want to be faithful and want to be consistent. And I'm not a person, although I might become very vocal about something, I'm not a just a extremely emotional person. I seem like I approach things from the standpoint of trying to explain and have understanding. That's for myself, my own benefit. And I trust that the message today will be a help to all of us with the help of the Lord. He says in the third verse, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." Consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners. Endurance, here again, is implying to us that extended over a period of time. It wasn't something that was just a brief, momentary thing. all of us can hold our breath for a little while, and some of us have probably tried to see how long we can hold our breath. And I remember one time, it was either one of our children or one my wife was taking care of, when something was not going their way, they would just start holding their breath. And she was very alarmed. I said, well, as soon as they pass out, they'll start breathing again. But, you know, we don't consider holding our breath really enduring. Now, if you was forced to because you was in a situation you couldn't breathe, maybe that would feel like enduring on a short period of time. But what I'm thinking about here is, the scripture is teaching me to consider all the cloud of witnesses that's gone on before us, those not only in our own lifespan, but in those that go all the way back to scriptural times, the cloud of witnesses. Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. Now it says here in the third verse, but to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. There are many contradictions to the faith today. And I'm not talking about just faith for physical relief, but the faith of being a true Christian in our world today is under attack. There's a lot of contradiction. And he says, consider him that endured such contradiction. There are times that we feel like that we're being persecuted and we're having such a difficult time, but I find in the scripture that that's not new. It's not something that's peculiar to me. It is something that it says, consider him, Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners, that gainsaid the things he said, that tried to discredit his authenticity, that done everything they could in their power to cause him to look incapable, improbable, just not the real thing. But he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint. I know sometimes we come up to difficult places in our life and we feel that things are just crowding in on us. I've felt that. I felt like that. It seemed like everywhere I turn, there's opposition and there's resistance and advice that I'm wrong and that I'm doing something the bad way. And we find ourselves in those places. And he says here, consider him, consider Christ that endured. He not only enduring implies that there was victory on the other end. There are things that we go through that usually if we say we endured something and at the end we was a failure at it, we don't use the word endure. We just say it was just a total loss. It was a failure. It was a bad mistake or something like that. But if we use the word endure in connection with something we've been through, we usually are implying that there was victory on the other side of it. I believe Jesus was victorious in resisting the contradiction of sinners. He says to us, the apostle Paul here, he says to us today that's reading this, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I believe that probably the likelihood of persecution, even physical persecution, is more real today than it's been in many generations. But he says, you haven't come to that place yet. I haven't come to that place. I feel like I've been in situations where there was a lot of contradiction. There was a lot of resistance for what I wanted to stand for. Sometimes it's very bold. Sometimes it's very confrontational. It's a tap on your chest and telling you you're wrong. And when you feel that you're doing the right thing. And sometimes it's very subtle. And it's a suggestion. And it's a implication. And it's an inference by the tone and by the words that's being said. And we get away from it and we think, is that really what they were saying? Or were they trying to imply something else? But I'm just trying to get our tone set here this morning that we've got a cloud of witnesses that's gone on before us. Jesus was the author, the instigator. He put the final finishing touch. I would like to stand here and tell you this morning that everything that I have started is completed. But it's not. I've got some unfinished projects in my life. I've got some unfinished things. But Jesus did not leave the plan for mankind unfinished. And He didn't leave us guessing whether or not this is a good thing or not. He didn't leave it with the trim off. I've got a couple projects going that ended up being extended projects, and there's no trim. Well, it's pretty much there, and the walls are painted, and the windows are in, and all, but there's no trim. You know, it's not done yet. Jesus didn't do that. He was a finisher. He completed it. It was a turnkey project, if you will. It is functional today for us. He didn't leave us something that needs repair. We like to build things today that has either low maintenance or no maintenance. Well, Jesus give us something that does not require an update. You know, your software, you're constantly getting notices about the software that you use for whatever, that there's an update available. And you can set it where it updates automatically and all of that. Well, I believe that the plan that Christ has for us, the design for cleansing mankind, I believe that it fits our day that we live in. It's not some kind of new improved version. I don't like it when they change the format of some software that I'm trying to use. And I open the thing up and the icons are in totally different places. And when I click on them, it don't go where I thought it should go. And all of those things. But the plan of salvation, the plan that God has for us, I believe works today just like it worked when He put it in place. So I'd like for us to go to 2 Peter, the second chapter. And it's beginning in verse 17. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. It says, Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Here it's talking about not only the plan of faith that God intended for us to follow, but He says He left us an example that we ought to follow His steps, who did no sin. That's part of the example. And it's only by His grace that we're able to follow His example. Neither was guile found in His mouth. You know, guile is just as tempting as sin is. Guile becomes sin. He says, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. Here again, it is so easy for us if we find a place, because we are standing maybe against the attacks of the enemy and the things that come against the contradiction of sinners, many times includes reviling. A real vocal opposition. And He says, when He was reviled, reviled not again. Lord, help me to be an example, follow this example that He gave me. When He suffered, He threatened not. I found myself fail in this area in the past. When I suffered, when something, what do you do when somebody accidentally does something that causes you physical pain. Maybe steps on your foot or pinches you somehow. Or how do we react to that? Lord, help us. He says, when he suffered, he threatened not. I don't think he's just talking about somebody stepping on his little toe. I think he's talking about a deeper suffering, maybe an emotional thing. You know that our emotions sometimes suffer from what others' actions do. It causes us to feel so distressed, and it causes our feelings and our emotions to be at a very low, at a bottom. And he says here, but when he suffered, he threatened not. Did you know it's so easy for us to begin to threaten when we begin to feel suffering? He says he gave us an example to follow. But he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Help me, Lord, to be able to commit myself to the God of heaven that will judge righteously. Right in the midst of the contradiction of sinners, the attacks on the faith, on the belief system of believing, of wholesomeness, of integrity in our everyday lives, in our marriages, and our everything about us. It's under attack today. He says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Because we are human, we have so many probable shortcomings. There are so many avenues where we can come up short and not having the sufficiency in ourselves to be able to resist the contradiction of sinners, not be able to be the example that we ought to. All you have to do is watch little children coming on, and if somebody displeases them, many times they slap them or pinch them or poke them, or they do something back. And it's so easy for us to fall under that. But Lord, help me to be the example that follow his example, it says. Yeah. It says that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And the other day we heard a message about how that it wasn't that the Roman soldiers took his life. He yielded up. He gave his life for me. He bore the sins. He suffered the pain. Not only was it a pain of rejection of his own people, his own countrymen, to those that should have applauded his arrival, but they didn't. They rejected him. There was a major contradiction of sinners in Jesus' life. And in the midst of all of that, he bore the physical distress and pain of what it was like to suffer a death on the cross. But when it came right down to it, he did not lose this because he was out of control. He yielded up his spirit so that he could purchase this plan of salvation, this faith for you and I. The Christ in his enduring that ended with victory opened up an avenue for intercession for healing for us. You go and read the commentaries about this particular verse, and everyone that I have found, he's talking, addresses this as spiritual healing. And dear ones, in our world today, men's souls need healed more than anything else. There are so many broken hearts, broken spirits, broken souls. And I want you to know today that the faith includes healing for those kind of things. There is damaged spirits. There are things, I don't know what causes them all. I know sin is the blame, but that's such a broad blanket statement. Sin is the blame for broken spirits. Sin is the blame for broken hearts. Sin is the blame for wounded souls. that don't hardly know how to function or can't find themselves capable of following the example that Christ gave, that we've just been reading about here. And because they're in that place of being injured, I want us to get a hold of this morning, that there's an avenue that's been opened because Christ suffered on the cross. He gave himself voluntarily to purchase an avenue whereby we can have healing in those things in our life. And that surpasses any need for a physical healing that we might have in my estimation. I'd like for us to turn back over to Exodus, the 15th chapter. I want to notice what God said to the people of Israel. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, we have what we might have in your Bible labeled as Moses' song. And it's basically a song that Moses had for the deliverance that God gave them over the Egyptians that tried to follow them through the Red Sea. And in the last part of that chapter, beginning in verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord shewed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, where he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his own sight, and will give ear to this his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee.'" He is speaking directly here about healing natural bodies. He specifically says diseases, and he said, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." Some commentators believe that the Israelites were exceptionally healthy people during this period of their existence. I don't know. I don't have any way of proving or disproving that. But Moses had, and the people had witnessed an exceptional deliverance from the enemy. And they came to this place where they would love to have drank, but the water somehow was undrinkable, and they murmured, and I don't want to focus on that. I know maybe there's other messages about that, but I want to get down here to the 26th verse, and I want us to focus on a little two-letter word. And I found that it's impressive sometimes to use big words, and I know that it might be a sign of higher intelligence and all of that, but you know, the small words many times are crucial to changing the direction of what's being said. They can cause the tone of the whole thing, no matter how big a word you might use to express the thought or express the point you're trying to illustrate. When it comes down to the little words, many times they're most important. And in verse 26, it says, "And said, 'If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes.'" This little word, "if," puts a condition upon the people. The Lord is able. The Lord is able. I believe the Lord that was able to bring them across the Red Sea is the same God that we are endeavoring to serve today. So I believe it's a rational thought to believe that He's able today. I believe that for us to begin to adopt something else is going to cause us to get in a place where we begin to diminish God in every respect. We're going to begin to discredit His power to save our souls, to provide an eternal heaven. We're going to start discrediting the whole thing. But He says, if we have a responsibility then, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right, and will give ear to His commandments. Not giving ear is more than hear it in passing. Giving ear is more than just having something read to you. Giving ear is, in my mind anyway, and maybe you can study what the Hebrew says and clear this up for me, but in my mind, giving ear means that there is an attentiveness and there is a desire. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of Matthew, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. And he says here, if you will give ear, if you'll give an ear to his commandments, not just trying to live by the guideline of ignorance is bliss, or what you don't know won't hurt you, or I'm not responsible. No, give an ear and be hungering after what does the Lord want out of me? What does He expect me to do? How can I be more pleasing to Him? I don't know how it works everywhere, but the way I think it ought to work on a job is if you really want to gain advancement, you need to look for ways to go out of your way to be pleasing to the employer. Look for an opportunity to impress them that you are capable and eligible for a promotion. Don't try to come around and lay some kind of document on me and try to get some kind of advancement. Prove to me that you can do the job. Have a hungering and a desire. Be dependable and trustworthy and capable and innovative when it comes time that you need to be that. And God is telling the people through Moses, if you will have an ear, if you'll be attentive and listening, Lord, what do you want out of me? Instead of operating under the guide of what I can get by with. You know, we can get by with some things, it seems like, in this life. I imagine all of us have realized that we were maybe disobeying a traffic regulation or something. I can remember times that I'm not a very apt driver in the city, and especially a big city, but even a little place like Joplin, I can get over there and violate some kind of traffic regulations and not realize I've done it until it's over with. Get on a one-way street and come up to a stop sign and somebody's facing you and realize that you shouldn't be going that way. And I'm thankful for every time that the public and the law enforcement's had mercy on me. But you know, if I'd have really been paying attention and really been giving an ear to what the signs were, I probably could have avoided all of that. And that's, well, the thing I wanted to stimulate in our mind today is give an ear. So what is the commandments of the Lord? If we'll do that, the Lord's promise, He's still the same today, I believe. And I believe that He's able to heal our diseases if we'll be able to really give an ear. In Mark, the 9th chapter, I'd like to go there and notice a passage. Beginning maybe in the 17th verse of Mark chapter 9, he says, and one of the multitude answered him and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. But when they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming. And he said, ask his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him in the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The father here tried to put the condition on Jesus. You know, I believe, I trust you'll accept this. Many times today, we try to put the condition of healing on all, on the one that's praying. All right? The man said to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Could Jesus do that? I believe he did. He could. He did. The testimony is he did. We'll read that. Could the Lord heal the diseases of the Israelites? Yes, he could. But he put a condition on the people. There's a requirement for the people. And this man, when he approached Jesus, he was disappointed in the disciples because the disciples weren't able to perform what he wanted. And he came to Jesus and he says, if thou can do anything, help us. And Jesus said unto him, if. That puts it back on him, doesn't it? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I think that many times we find ourselves right here where this father is. Because I believe Jesus would like to say to all of us, if you can believe, if you can really put your confidence in me, all things are possible. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He recognized that he believed that God could, but it was a speculative type believing. Can I say it that way? Do you ever do anything as an experiment? You know, sometimes we do things and it's really, if it don't turn out, it's okay. It was just an experiment. And I want to challenge us today that the Lord is looking for us to be giving an ear to His commandment and our attention to the faith. Not just faith for whatever is causing me distress in my physical body, but the faith, the things that we should stand for in this world that's full of the contradiction of sinners all around. Lord, help me to be able to take a stand that there's no question about whether or not I'm a Christian. By my conduct, by what people see when they just look at me and see me from a distance. Oh, I know you can't make a complete assessment on that, but Lord, help me to be in a place to have an ear for the commandments, have a real desire and to follow His plan. To where when it comes time, instead of saying, well, yes, I believe, it's a deep-seated confidence this father had to say, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. I know there's some places in my mind that I've got some questions and I really have some wonderment of how this is going to turn out or what I ought to do. All of these things are running in the back of his head. And he says, Lord, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch they said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There is a level of sincerity that's demonstrated by fasting that's hard to demonstrate any other way. I trust that everyone here has had an experience of really fasting and praying for a need and seeing that need resolved. I trust you have that experience in your own life. And if you don't, I want to advise you, when you find that you're up against the wall and you find that the perplexities of life have overwhelmed you to the point you don't know which way to turn, you don't know which way is up, so to speak, and you're crying out to the Lord, and maybe you're having to say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I want to advise you and counsel you to enter into prayer and fasting. This is on the ones that have the need, but it's also on those that would be doing the praying. This was on the disciples. Lord, help us, that would stand behind this desk, that would take the oil to anoint someone for physical healing, for emotional healing, for some kind of spiritual healing. Lord, help us to be in a place that we're willing to really get under a burden for these kind of things. Lord, help me. There's room for me to move up in this area, to know how to carry the burdens of the people. I want to tell you, if we are all sincere, if we are all listening, hungering for the commandments of the Lord, and we are willing to withstand the contradiction of sinners around, I believe the manifestations of God's power is readily available. Amen. I believe it's readily available. But it's not going to come with a ho-hum experience. It's not going to come with a ho-hum ministry. No. It's not going to come that way. It's going to come by putting our whole heart in this thing. Lord, search me, as David said, and see if there's any wicked way in me. You know my down... you know my down sittings. You know my uprisings. You know the most intricate parts of my inner man. May the Lord help us to be in a place that we can witness these kind of things. I'd like to see that tremendous manifestation myself. And I have a responsibility, and you have a responsibility. We can't pass the buck, as we heard last night, off on others. It's because of this, and it's because of that. Lord, where am I at? Am I in a place to have the faith that I ought to have? Am I in the place to receive the manifestation of this kind of healing? I'd like to read a couple more examples before we close. Let's turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter. And we're going to read in the beginning in the 27th verse, Matthew chapter 9. Beginning in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he came into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believest ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. They didn't say, Lord, help my unbelief. They said, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they couldn't keep it. When they left there, they had to tell everybody they come in contact with. And it was obvious to everybody that they could see. They weren't picking their way. They just felt like a bird that was let out of a cage. They were skipping along maybe, and maybe exploring things they had never explored before, because they could see. the Lord had healed him. And maybe someone said, maybe you ought to be careful. What are you doing over there? You know, you can't see where you're going. And they had to tell him, no, I can see now. Jesus touched me. But I want us to focus here on what Jesus said to them and allow Jesus to speak to our hearts today. They came, they had their faith in place. When Jesus said, do you believe? They said, yes, Lord. I see them having a deep-seated confidence. Yes, Lord, I believe you can do that. And he said to them, according to your faith, be it unto you. It's a key ingredient here. And I want to give us an example that happened in my life. And many of you heard this story before, but we had one son that had eczema, very distressful to us. The only child that we had that I woke up in the night for. My wife always, you know, got up when they needed attention in the night. And this child, it got to the point that when he would get in distress, he would come into our bedroom and come to my side of the bed. And I would get up in the middle of the night and hold him in the chair, and he was begin to scratch because his skin was so irritated. And I would rock him in the recliner and hours. You know, I couldn't hardly stay awake, but when I could tell his little hands were going and scratching, I would begin to try to rub his legs or his arms and try to soothe him, and was praying and singing those little sections of verses that come to my mind. And we went through the gamut of trying to determine is he allergic to something and all of this. And we finally came to the place we realized that a lot of the things that we were introducing him to sometimes was impacting it. We began to cut some things out of his diet and our diet, and things seemed to be improving. And one of those things were the things that's in things like sausage and hot dogs and that kind of thing. So his skin was just looking pretty good. And we were thanking the Lord that he had given us wisdom and directed us to know how to take care of him and be more, be better parents and all of those things. And so he got up to school age and he was going to school, and came time for him to spend all day at school, and they served lunch there. And so, you know, when I was in school, I wanted to take a lunch box and take my own lunch, but not him. When it came time for his lunch, and his mother would look at the menu and say, now, son, you know, they're going to have something tomorrow for lunch that would keep you, it's something that's going to cause this problem. We know you got an issue here, and the Lord's helped us figure this out. We're going to fix a lunch for you on those days. And you can take, and his expression was he didn't want to be different. He didn't want to take a lunch that day. And my wife says, well, I don't know what she come to me. What are we going to do here? He wants to eat lunch at school. And I told him, I said, son, the only thing that I know to do is just to pray and ask God to heal you where you don't have this trouble. I said, do you believe if we have prayer that the Lord can heal you? And he answered like the blind men did. This is a little guy now. And he said, yes, Daddy, I do. We got down and had prayer. And he went on to school that day. This was just before, I believe it was just before he went to school, or maybe the evening before, I can't remember exactly. But I remember kneeling down there by the kitchen table and having prayer with him. Wasn't no lightning strikes and no fire came down or anything like that. But I felt like the Lord witnessed his faith and heard the prayer. He went on to school. Whatever they served, good or bad, he ate it. And to this day, that has not impacted him. That's been a long time ago, dear ones. And I'm very thankful for that. But I want us to realize this is not a one-sided thing. I want us to realize that exercising the faith in this area is under a lot of contradiction of sinners. I believe the Lord wants us to be good stewards of our body and good stewards of the things that we put into our bodies. I believe all of that. But I want to tell you that the Lord has power today to deliver us from the things. I believe He's still got the power. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. I would like to read beginning the 22nd verse. Lord willing, this will be the last passage that I read to you. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 22, He says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. And He answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughters, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Here again, we find a manifestation of an individual, not even, you might say, one of the chosen ones of Israel. But we find a daughter that is able, a woman that's able to come with her daughter's needs and implore the Lord. And do you see the tenacity that this woman had? She was not willing to just be superficial about this. She wanted something from Jesus. She wanted this touch. And I believe that this is a very, I'm not trying to put all the pressure on one thing or and take it off of another, but I want us to realize today that we have an obligation to be in a place to be able to receive the blessings from the Lord. And I want us to notice here in closing that both of these cases that I read to you, there was outward manifestations of physical injury, but the root problem was something on the inside. There was a spirit involved. There was something here that was causing injury to the fleshly part of the body. And I want us to recognize today that Jesus' healing was thorough. It was not just for the superficial injuries, but it was for the injury in the spirit. And I want us to recognize today that if there's someone here that has an injury in the spirit, there is something that is hard to rise above. There is something that I can't get over. There is something that the Lord wants to deliver you from. I want to implore you to have the faith to believe that God can help you and not just kind of patch you up and send you on your way, but He can give you a real restoration of your spirit, of your soul, of the inner man that is in so much distress. So I want to leave my little thoughts with you today. I know we've, by and large, been fasting, and we're asking that the Lord would meet us today. So take these things in consideration, and may the Lord bless you each one.